It's not an entirely new story, but it's got, for some reason that I don't quite understand, it's getting some legs at the moment. The city of Johannesburg, 2.5 years ago, I think, decided that private schools must pay rates as if they were businesses. And in almost every case, that means a significant case, significant increase in rates. And that makes it quite difficult for particularly the profit-focused private schools to keep up the levels of profit. And let's talk about that now with Lebogang Monjane, the executive director of the Independent Schools Association of Southern Africa. Lebogang, good afternoon. Is it only the city of Johannesburg that has taken the step?
Good afternoon, John, and to your listeners. Actually, no. To our great regret and disappointment, ISASA and its schools in the Etiquette municipality were in an 8-year litigation with the city of Etiquette and the Stellenbosch municipality. That case went all the way to the Supreme Court of Appeal. This year, we won that case with costs, which is something that is not usual for state action. And now the city of Johannesburg is asking our Johannesburg schools to engage in a similar process.
You know, there was front page of the Business Day newspaper today. Lebogang had a story about Kuro, the private school group, which is legally taking Johannesburg on over this. And one line in the story says that yesterday, Kuro reported that half-year profit to end June rose 32% to 169 million rand. And I go, if in 6 months, an organization that runs private schools, 181 schools in South Africa, is making that amount of money, then they're not in educational institutions. They are profit-making enterprises. And yes, the economic arena in which they're making those profits is education, but they're businesses as much, if not more, than they're schools. So isn't there a case to be made for that being an applicable practice sometimes, but not always, and certainly not when, as is the case with many schools in the private school system in South Africa, they're not major profit makers?
Look, John, I think that it is important for us to understand that the actions by the city of Johannesburg will impact all educational institutions and children in public schools. And the educational sector is quite diverse, but the vast, overwhelmingly vast majority of independent schools are public benefit organizations that serve a public purpose. In the city of Johannesburg, there is a shortage of public schools. So when somebody, let's say a church or an individual, decides to start a non-for-profit school, as I was sitting this, in fact, just before this interview, there's a person wanting to start a non-for-profit school in Limpopo, we need to support those schools and those families. Most of our schools, and we've got 79 properties in of our members in Johannesburg, I can assure you, and Kuro is not one of our members, I would say 99% of them are not-for-profit schools. And also, which is, here's a great irony, and that's why we need to understand the complexity. The state determines that there are independent schools that fees are so low, and because they're helping to educate South African children, which is a state obligation, they give a state subsidy of up to 60% of what they spend in a public school. So now how then do you take a not-for-profit school that you subsidize and classify it as business?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think it is a ridiculous idea to take a not-for-profit organization, which is trying as best it can and with varying degrees of success, it seems to me, to give a better education to our children. And they struggle to do so financially. How you can treat them as a business seems ludicrous to me. But I do think that there must be an understanding that some schools in the private school system, maybe not members of your organization, are for profit as much as they are for teaching. And I think that that is where the dividing line should be.
But here's the other thing that you've got to consider, John.
Yeah.
Independent schools cannot be for the super rich. And that is why education is classified as a public benefit. So even if you're a for-profit school, and they increase, so even us, we're an education organization that is a public benefit organization and do not issue any dividends to private shareholders. Our bill at our organization has moved from 3,000 to 32,000 rands in a month.
Ouch.
So what I'm saying is that we must be very, very careful that because we're looking after businesses, going after businesses, we harm everybody. But also, even those businesses, if they're providing, let's say, a Curo, your child is at Curo, we would not want only the very rich in Johannesburg to be the only people who are able to afford that education. So in many ways that even, and unfortunately, even if we do not want to say education, shareholders should get any benefits out of education, but if you do that and make them businesses and rate them that, the result is that only the very rich get a quality education. And then you put on even further pressure on the public system that is already struggling to manage numbers. One of your schools down in Cape Town called Crystal House, which does amazing work, is looking to do charitable work here in Johannesburg. And one of the people came to look at a public school here. She says that she was shocked to find 100 children in a classroom. The public system is struggling to accommodate everybody, and I think I commend government for the work that they're doing under the limited resources and the high demand. But we cannot have independent education only for the super rich. For me, that is really something that, as a non-for-profit, as ISASA, and we talk about quality independent education, I do not want only very rich people benefiting from quality independent education. In fact, this morning I was at our school called Vuleka. It's an Anglican church school, low-fee schools. They charge 12,000 rands in fees a year, less than some public schools. Now, if you increase their fee, that fee they've raised by tenfold, you know that school is going to reduce numbers. Those parents are going to go into the public system, burden it even further. And then worst of all, only the super rich, those who are the shareholders who get the profits out of different companies, are the ones who can then send their children to independent schools. It's not a sound policy approach.
Lebogang, you make a very, very powerful argument. Thank you for taking some time to make it on our program this afternoon. Lebogang Monjane, the Executive Director of the Independent Schools Association of Southern Africa.